How do you do? Interesting, isn't it, how life changes direction? You start out planning to go one way and end up going another, like the man in this story. As a youth, his life revolved around sports, wanting to excel, to be a winner. Now he is, but not in the way he expected. Not since his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. You're broken homeless, wandering the city streets. Where do you go as darkness falls? Well, just ahead you see the lighted sign, Pacific Garden Mission, and you are drawn there like a drowning man to a lighthouse. Inside, they greet you with smiles and open arms. They offer you a meal, a shower, fresh clothing, and a bunk for the night, and all free. How do they do it? Well, the counselor smiles when you ask. A lot of people care, he says. And then he opens the book and tells you about the one who cares more than any other. He shows you many things about yourself that you always knew but never wanted to face. Somehow, you're ready now. The truth will set you free, he says, and it does. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2512 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Honey, I've been thinking. We need to get Dave a good baseball glove.
Can we afford it?
One way or another, we have to.
I don't know, Buck. The other kids need things, too. That seems like a luxury.
Well, he made the team, honey, and I'm real proud of him for that. He's playing outfield, and you need a good glove to catch those fly balls.
You and your sports. You think it's the most important thing in the world.
Well, it is when you're a kid. Besides, being an athlete develops character.
Doing chores and homework is what develops character.
Well, he does his chores. Never fails to cut wood and bring in coal for the stove.
Dave's a good kid. He's very responsible.
So I'm going to take him shopping and buy him a new glove. We'll just have to sacrifice somewhere else.
The man in our story was the oldest of five children, born into a loving family that lived in Spartanburg, South Carolina. In many ways, his was an ideal home in the ideal American community, with close ties and no major problems, except one. This is the story of how he discovered the problem as well as the solution. The true story of Dave Walton, right now on Unshackled.
Daddy was a railroad car inspector for 42 years. On the side, he was a professional prize fighter who encouraged my two brothers and me to excel in sports. If we were playing a ball game, Daddy was there, cheering us on. I still have the glove he bought me in 1955. But of all the presents he gave me, I treasure more than anything else the time he spent with us.
Hey, our team won!
Yeah, they sure did. They won all right. You should have been there for the last few minutes of the game. Man, talk about exciting.
Yeah, how about a pig dinner to celebrate?
Oh, I'm real proud of Dave here. Scored a touchdown. Third one this season. Oh, I tell you, this kid is really gifted. Old Tarbuck in here in baseball is just as good at football. Yeah, he'll go a long way in sports.
Sports became my life as I continued to excel in baseball, football, and basketball. My parents were very proud of me, and so was Grandma Sis, my dad's mother. She lived in North Carolina and came to visit for a week every summer. One evening, we sat on the porch together.
Your dad is mighty proud of you, Dave.
Yeah, especially when I was voted the most valuable player on the baseball team.
That's good. It means you're a team player.
My picture was even in the newspaper.
Your dad showed me.
Yeah, when I came home with the trophy, Mom had a batch of fudge waiting.
She's a good mother, and you're like your dad. He's a sports fanatic.
Yeah, he says the team that won't be beat can't be beat.
He's right. What What a beautiful time of day with the sun setting and all.
Oh, yeah, sure is, Grandma Sis. Look, the lightning bugs are coming out.
Heaven will be like this, peaceful and beautiful, beyond our wildest dreams, streets of gold, no more sickness or tears, and best of all, Jesus, the light of heaven.
My friend Wayne and his family talk like that. They pray a lot, too. They always pray before they eat.
We should give thanks to God. Everything we have and everything we are came from Him.
Even athletic ability?
Even that. You should want to live for Jesus, Dave.
Well, I've been to church a few times.
I'm praying that you'll get on God's team and play for the kingdom of God.
Well, religion's okay, Grandma Sis, but sports are what I really enjoy.
I'm real proud of you, Dave, but it would make me even happier if your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
I asked Mom about all that religious talk, and she said Grandma Sis was a devout Christian. One night I saw her praying on her knees with a Bible at her side.
God, save David. Use him in your kingdom. Use him one day to preach the gospel around the world. Oh, save him, Lord. Don't let his life be wasted. Show him now the wonder of knowing you, the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us, that everybody can be saved. Amen.
I love my grandmother, and her prayers trouble me. But religion sat on the bench in my life. My coach's sermons were more of an inspiration than anything I heard in church. I had games to play and win.
Hey, son, how's your day?
Hey, I gotta go to the health food store, Dad, and get some protein supplements.
Oh, yeah? Who says?
Coach Cox. He says I gotta add some weight. If I do, I'm gonna start this year as quarterback of the football team.
Quarterback? That's great, son. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know what else he said? What skills I don't have, I make up for in desire. He said I have a big heart for sports.
Well, he's right, Dave. If you stay focused on your game and keep a strong desire to win, you'll succeed. Run with the right crowd, study hard, and you'll even get a college scholarship to play sports.
I followed Dad's advice and cut a wide swath in sports. I played guard on the basketball team, and we went to the state finals that year. I was on the junior high all-star team and was awarded the sportsmanship trophy. In the ninth grade, my good friend Don and I made the starting lineup for the high school baseball team. We led it that year in baseball and also made the AAA All-Star team, which opened a new door for us.
What a game!
We really stomped them, didn't we?
Yeah, the seniors will treat us like one of them now.
They are too, Don. We scored big.
Yeah. Hey, you going out for a beer with the guys when we get back?
I don't know. What do you think?
I guess so.
One beer can't hurt, can it?
Well, Coach always says we shouldn't drink, but the rest of the guys doing this still playing ball.
I guess I'll go, too. I don't want to look like a swerp. At first, it was just an occasional thing to drink with the senior players, and my game didn't seem to be affected.
Way to go, Walton. Now, the way you reversed direction really confused them in the third quarter.
I had to find a receiver, and they were all covered.
Game could have gone either way, man. It was your running and punting that helped us win.
No, Coach always said alcohol ruins your game, but I don't notice any difference.
Me neither.
So let's have another one. Drinking to be accepted by your friends is a poor reason to drink. Even knowing that my father drank was not enough reason. Alcohol slows you down in sports. I was doing things I said I would never do. Losing my focus, losing my speed. Even so, in the 10th grade, I lettered in football and won many awards. Oh, Daddy was so proud.
Well, look at this. Another picture of you in the sports pages, Dave.
What's it say?
It says, Junior Walton, the gritty little quarterback, was given the team's coveted Most Valuable Player Award yesterday. The only player so honored on two occasions. Isn't that something?
That's wonderful, Dave.
Oh, there's Don's picture, too.
You know, you guys ought to get a sports scholarship for sure.
Oh, the scouts are coming out and watch us play.
Fantastic, son. You're doing great. I never saw anything like it. You've got it made as long as you keep focused.
but I had acquired a taste for alcohol and convinced myself that I could drink and still play. Although I still excelled in sports, I lived a double life, practicing hard and pretending to be a serious student while drinking more often. Alcohol did its damage.
Well, that's it for the season.
Yeah. What a finish.
Hey, Dave! Dave! Way up there!
Oh, hi, Mr. Walton.
A good game, you guys.
I was really off. I don't know how I missed that one ball.
Is something bothering you, son?
Nah, just tired, I guess. Well, I gotta run.
There's a Red Sox scout here to see me.
Well, that's great, Don. Good luck to you.
Yeah, see you, Don.
See ya.
Hope he gets a good offer.
You know, should have been you, Dave.
Oh, nah. The scouts quit coming around. Guess I'm not as good as I thought I was, huh?
You know, you're losing speed, son. Something's not right.
I graduated and had a 2-year scholarship to a small college that would have been extended 2 more years if I performed in sports and made good grades. Instead, I walked off the field. I told my friends it didn't matter, but I was lying. My parents were deeply hurt, especially when they discovered I was drinking.
I don't understand how you can do that, Dave. We didn't raise you that way. You know better.
All the guys on the team drink. I'm not the only one.
That's no excuse.
Oh, you could have gone so far, Dave. I thought you knew alcohol was deadly. I drank and it was no good. Drinking and playing sports don't mix. The one will overtake the other.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dad.
Well, it's too late now.
We had such high hopes for you.
Son, I have no money to send you to college. Without a scholarship, you'll have to work your way through.
If my folks were disappointed, I was even more down about the turn my life had taken. Sports had been everything to me. I found a job but felt trapped by alcohol. Every payday, I would end up in a bar drinking and laughing with friends, gambling on the machines. I would leave broke and ashamed. Weekend after weekend was the same.
Dave was beginning to see the problem, but finding the solution would take longer. And he'll tell us about that in just a moment. Don't ever feel that you have to face a crisis alone. We are connected to one another and to God through prayer. And we count it a privilege when you ask us to pray for whatever concerns you. We have a prayer band made up of Unshackled listeners who have volunteered to spend time praying for the needs of others. When you write and tell us your concerns, we send your petition to one of these warriors who joins us in prayer. So please, don't be shy. Ask for prayer. You can reach us the old-fashioned way by letter, or you can send us your prayer request by email. You could even go to our website at www.unshackled.org and click on the prayer request. Then type out your petition and send it to us electronically. Today, it's easier than ever for people around the world to pray for one another's needs. To request prayer or to join our prayer band, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
In the summer of 1966, I met Diane, who was still a junior in high school, and we began dating.
I remember you, Dave, from the football games last year. You were always beating our team.
Oh, sorry about that.
You are not. You'd do it again if you could.
Oh, you're right. I really miss competitive sports.
Are you going to college? You could play there.
A couple of my teachers talked me into starting junior college in the fall.
Oh, you're such a great athlete. You should have gotten a sports scholarship.
Yeah, well, I kind of messed up there.
What do you mean?
Well, Coach warned us not to drink beer, but we did. It ruined my speed.
Oh, it's not too late, Dave. You can overcome that.
Well, Daddy always says a winner never stays down. He always gets back up, but... Well, we all have limitations. Three years later, in 1969, Diane and I were married. She pursued her career as a hairdresser, helping me finish college with a major in sociology. I coached young people in football while I was in college. After graduation in 1972, I took a job with a health spa, but my drinking continued. At first, Diane joined me in going to dance clubs and bars, but then she quit. I couldn't.
Dave, please quit drinking, please.
Don't start that again, Diane.
It makes you hateful, not to mention all the money you waste.
God, what is it with women anyway? You know, they marry a guy and right away you try to change him. I am what I am.
You like being a Jekyll and Hyde?
Hey, knock it off.
You've changed, Dave. You're not the same man I married.
You know what? You're the one who's changed. You used to go with me, remember? All of a sudden, what, you're too good to go to bars? You're too good to drink?
I want to have a family. And I thought maybe alcohol was causing the miscarriages.
You do what you want, but I'm going to drink. I can handle it.
Even if we have a baby? I think I'm pregnant again.
Our daughter Holly was born a week before Christmas in 1973, and I was filled with pride and joy. Yet only a few days later, I partied at the clubs with the boys, celebrating her birth. I went home that night feeling dead inside, fearful of the future and my ability to be a good father. The trouble was, I didn't know how to change. 2 years later, a man joined the health club and became a real friend to me.
Oh, I don't know, Dave. I thought if I worked out enough, I'd be as good as you, but maybe it's hopeless.
Oh, you'll surpass me, Doug.
No way, buddy. I used to watch you play football in high school. You're good, agile and fast.
Oh, once upon a time, maybe, but not anymore.
Yeah, more than once I saw you save the game.
Yeah, but sometimes I miss those days.
Sometimes you have to let go of one thing in order to receive something else.
Yeah, but I keep wondering, is this all there is? I mean, even if you're successful, sooner or later it all ends.
Yeah, you're right. Mankind's been wrestling with that problem since the days of Solomon. Read the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible sometime.
Maybe I will, Doug.
There's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah where God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So just remember, Dave, God has a purpose for your life.
About that time, my younger brother gave his life to Christ and began telling the rest of us how great it was to follow Jesus. Well, Dad wasn't very interested, and neither was I. My friend Dub didn't come to the health spa for about 3 weeks, and I missed his friendship. Then one day he called and invited me to church on Sunday, and I went. We arrived late and sat up front, so I didn't know that my brother had brought the whole family. At the end of the service, the preacher gave an invitation.
Today's the day of your salvation. Stand up right now and come forward and give your life to Christ. He offers forgiveness for your sins. He offers what no one else can give you, eternal life in Him. Don't be afraid to stand up for Jesus. He hung on the cross for you.
No one moved. I turned and looked in the eyes of a woman who was weeping. And somehow I knew she was praying for my salvation. I looked the other way and into the eyes of another woman, also weeping. And I knew she was also praying for me. I prayed, "God, please get this preacher to sing one more verse of that song because I want to be saved."
I was going to dismiss us in prayer, but I think the Lord wants us to sing one more stanza. Someone here wants to be saved today.
I went forward and opened my heart and life to Christ. While I stood there crying, two young men came forward, my brother bringing my other brother. Then two young women came forward, my two sisters. Then off the back row came my daddy to receive Jesus Christ along with the rest of us. What a great day. The whole family got saved. I couldn't wait to tell Diane.
How was church?
You won't believe it. I got saved.
Oh, Dave, it's wonderful.
Dub told me on the way home that he's been fasting and praying for me for the past 3 weeks.
I've been praying for you too, honey.
I didn't know you were a Christian.
I received Christ when I was a child at camp. Then I met you and stopped going to church.
Oh, Diane, we have to let Jesus rule our home from now on, okay? I don't ever want to lose touch with God. I can't believe how relieved I feel. Like a big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, Dave, I am so proud of you for walking forward. And I'm so thankful to God for saving you. We'll go to church from now on, and we'll start reading the Bible.
My whole family was at church, Diane, and they all came forward.
Your whole family?
Everyone but Mom. I have to find out if she's saved.
I asked Jesus into my heart almost a year ago, Dave, while I was listening to a preacher on television.
How come you never said anything?
Your daddy was against religion then, so I kept quiet.
I don't think I can keep quiet, Mom. I feel so different. I have to tell others.
I've been praying for your daddy and all you children since then, and I've been writing letters to all kinds of people who love God, asking them to pray for my family.
Turns out Diane has been praying for me for years.
I didn't know she was a believer.
Well, she was like you, kept her faith a secret.
I still can't get over how God answered our prayers all at once. The whole family.
I wish Grandma Sis was still alive. She used to pray for us, too.
Somehow I think she knows.
Oh, life will never be the same, Mom.
I know. Your father and I prayed together last night for the first time in our lives.
Yesterday, when we were all standing around the altar, Dad said he was really proud of me for going forward. Mom, that means more to me than all the awards I've ever won. Diane and I began to change. We prayed together, asking forgiveness for all the hurt we had caused one another in the past. We joined a church, studied the Bible, and began witnessing to others. You know, I've been making waves at work, Diane. The boss called me in and wanted to know what was going on. We turned the swimming pool into a baptismal today.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, a couple of the guys wanted to know how they could have what I have, so I told them about Jesus. They prayed to receive Christ right there in the exercise room.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't God great? I told them we'd probably gain a lot more members now, preachers and other believers.
How did they react to that?
Well, they said I had 6 months to prove myself. God allowed me to lead hundreds of people to Christ through my testimony at the health spa and through a lay ministry in prison and in churches. I also talked about Christ to old friends, like Don, who is now a successful pharmacist.
You've gone overboard on religion, Dave.
I can't help it, Don. Jesus turns everything upside down. The way you look at things, what seems important. All my life, I wanted to be a winner in sports. Now, I want to be a soul winner. He really changes your life.
Well, I'm pretty happy with mine. Business is good. We just bought a new house, and my family's fine. Why would I want to change anything?
But you don't have the Lord. Without Him, you have nothing.
I go to church, Dave.
I know you do, Don, but I'm talking about a personal relationship with Christ. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And it's true. I feel like the blind man who said, "Once I was blind, but now I can see." I'm telling you, Don, you need the Lord.
I have everything I need, Dave. Believe me, I'm fine.
He wasn't fine, but I didn't know it then. In 1980, I made a mission trip to Haiti that changed my life again. Seeing the hunger, the death, the people without hope, I dedicated my life to helping others. Meanwhile, Don had been sentenced to 3 years in prison for drug abuse. I wrote a letter pleading with him to accept Christ. One night, I woke up thinking about him, so I prayed for him until morning. A few days later, we received a letter. Diane, it's a letter from Don.
Oh, what does he say?
He's saved. Oh, glory to God. He received Christ in prison.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah, he says he was ready to commit suicide one night because he thought his life was over. A friend of his did end his life in solitary confinement, Oh, thank God I wrote him.
I hope he finds some good fellowship there and reads his Bible.
Oh, yes. He's in a Bible study and reading the Bible every day.
Dave, hey, buddy. Sure it's good to see you.
Well, how does it feel to be out, Don?
Listen, the real freedom came when I was still locked up, when I prayed to receive Christ. Oh, I can't thank you enough for writing that letter. I was planning suicide when I got your letter.
It was the Lord, Don. He's not willing that any should perish.
I wish I'd listened years ago.
Well, what do you think God wants you to do now?
Well, because of my conviction, I can no longer be a pharmacist. So I told the Lord I'd serve him the rest of my life.
Same here. I preach in schools and prisons, anywhere. Why don't you come with me and give your testimony?
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, I'd like to start a rescue mission someday, you know, help some of the poor people who can't even afford to eat.
Listen, Dave, I'll go in with you on that.
You will? Oh, great.
Looks like God's leading us into a whole new game. Different equipment, new rules, same old opponent.
Oh, my grandma sure would be proud. Don and I started ministering together, preaching at churches, prisons, high schools, anywhere people would listen. More than 10 years ago, we opened a rescue mission in downtown Spartanburg, where we serve the lost with physical and spiritual help. We've traveled the country sharing the good news of salvation and have seen more than 40,000 people make professions of faith in Christ. Glory to God.
What about you, friend? Are you on the winning side? If you do not know the living God, what future do you have? Jesus Christ came to give you life and life more abundantly. To receive his gift of salvation, pray with us right now. Lord, I come to you with nothing but sin. I am lost without you. I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, that you raised him from the dead, that you want to save me and give me eternal life. Thank you, Lord. I'm asking you to come into my heart and life now to change me into your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 12 promises, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So if you prayed with us in faith, then you are now a child of God. Find a Bible-teaching church, read the Bible, and tell someone about your decision. And we'd like to know also so we can send you some literature to help you walk with God. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. Our website address is www.unshackled.org. This is program number 2512. Heard in the true story of Dave Walton were Tom Chiappa, Charlotte Davis, Ray Van Steen, Steve Bayorgin, and Helen Cutting. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Be a friend and let us hear from you today. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you need counseling day or night, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.